This evening is taken from Acts, the fifth chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them that is evident to all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Been in order that it may spread no farther among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen, rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of that what we have heard." And now I'm going to read from the fifth chapter, because I read from the fourth chapter, so I apologize. All right. I do apologize for that. All right. Now many signs and wonders were for regard regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Our second lesson is taken from Revelation 1, beginning with the fourth verse. "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth wail, and on account of him, even so, amen. I am Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in the book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstand, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. and his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Here ends the second reading.
The Lord is risen today. Alleluia. All on earth with angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth, reply, Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, Alleluia. Once he died our souls to save, Alleluia. Where thy victory, O grave, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. We'll gather by the steps here, by the piano, so that we can make music to the Lord and remember what Jesus has done for us when we've been washed in his blood and received the forgiveness of sin. Because sin, as you all know, has a really bad smell to it. Did you know that? I mean, some things really smell, right? They have what we call a foul odor. Like maybe sometimes a person's feet, or if they sweat a lot, their stockings, you know, their socks. Or like maybe they've been out running around and you go, "Ooh, you need to take a shower or a bath," right? Get some soap, get some shampoo, get some of that smell off, huh? Sin has a terrible smell. And sin causes death, which even stinks more. Have you ever been around somebody that has bad breath? Yeah, and you can say, well, let's give them some toothpaste that has mouthwash in it, or let's give them some mouthwash, right? Especially when you wake up in the morning and go, whoa, huh? Or this is one of my favorites, Tic Tacs. You know, there's different types of Tic Tacs, but I got these because fruit adventure. In other words, fruit's good for you, right? Right? So I figure, okay, fruit Tic Tacs, not only will it give me fresh breath, but it's healthy. I get to have my fruit. Maybe, huh? But it tastes good. And it does take care of the foul mouth, right? That smell. Did you know that in the Gospel of John, Jesus had a really good friend named Lazarus? Yep. Chapter 11. And in that chapter, Jesus hears that Lazarus is really sick. And sometimes when a person is sick, it kind of smells, you know, like if a person vomits or something too, you know? You know what I'm talking about, right? Some things really stink. Well, Lazarus dies before Jesus gets to see him. And Jesus says, let's go out to the cemetery. And he says, why don't you roll that stone away? And you know what they said to Jesus? Whew. He's been in that tomb for 4 days. It's going to smell. He stinketh. Well, I don't think that mouthwash or toothpaste, right, or air freshener or deodorant or even a Tic Tac was going to solve the problem, right? Yeah, because death stinks. And so Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And you know what he did? He came out. It was an Easter moment, huh? It was like an Easter moment when the dead come back to life. And then Jesus said, unwrap him and set him free. So how is God going to take care of our sin and that stinky thing called death? Do you know? Yeah, you do. Because what did we just celebrate last Sunday? Easter, right? And all of our lessons tells us that we get saved through the blood of Jesus when God washes away our sins and when God breathes new life in us. Can you breathe? Right? You breathe, right? God breathes in you and gives you the good news of forgiveness in Jesus. And then you go out and you breathe on everyone else so that they get Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and victory over the grave. Pray with me, okay? We do a repeat prayer here, so I'll say a few words and you repeat. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, you give me the breath of life. Thanks for taking care of my stinking sin. Help me share the breath of life with all people. Amen. Now, later tonight after church, you know, when you're having some ice cream sundaes and stuff, you might come up to me and say, I need a breath mint to remind you, right? Nothing sweeter than Jesus. And nothing better than the breath of God living inside of you. Thanks for coming up. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I will conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives and grants me daily breath. Breathe. Our psalm for this day, Psalm 150, says, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was Easter evening on the first day of the week. And The disciples of Jesus were locked in a room. The doors were shut. They were bolted. They were locked because they were afraid. Afraid that those who put Jesus on the cross were perhaps hunting them down and going to put them on a cross. And so they were afraid. And the doors were locked. And suddenly, Easter evening, Jesus comes. He stands in the midst of them. And the first thing Jesus does is what? He breathes. Because when you breathe, words happen. So Jesus breathes and says, "Peace be with you." And then he says, you see, he shows them the marks of his cross. He shows them the wounds of his hand and his side. And when they saw Jesus, they weren't afraid anymore. You see what happens when Jesus breathes? It takes away the fear. And suddenly they have peace. And St. John says, and they were glad. They were glad. And then Jesus breathes again and says, "Peace be with you." You know what this peace stuff is, right? I mean, like when we share the peace of the Lord in the service tonight, we're not saying, "Hey, what do you think about, you know, the draft pick that the Vikings got, you know?" Or that's not what the sharing of the peace is. Peace is about pardon. Peace is about forgiveness. Peace is about reconciliation in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus breathes, you see what they get? Not an announcement about, "Well, we didn't get as much snow as we thought we were going to get." They get the forgiveness of sins. They get the reconciliation of Almighty God. That's what happens when Jesus breathes on his disciples. When Jesus breathes, and breath and Holy Spirit and wind in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the same word. And when Jesus breathes, he doesn't only give pardon, but he gives a commission, a sending for proclamation. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." You're on a mission. Jesus breathes, you receive peace and pardon, and you become ambassadors of his proclamation. Jesus breathes, and you get the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. On the cross, he breathed his last, or as John would say it in his gospel, Jesus handed over the Spirit. God is in the breathing business. From the very beginning, you know your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, there's darkness, there's chaos, it's a mess. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit is moving on the face of the waters. And what does God do? God breathes. God says, "Let there be," and there is. That's what breathing does. And God is the author of the breath. Excuse me. And then God is forming and shaping out of the earth an earthling. But it's just flesh or a lifeless corpse. Until God breathes and Adam becomes life-giving. All because God breathes. Psalm 104 says, when God breathes, life is created. And when God takes away the breath, life ends. Do you remember Ezekiel 37? The Valley of the Dry Bones? The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel says, and the Lord placed me into a valley. And the valley was full of bones. And the bones were very dry. And then God breathes and asks a question of Ezekiel. Shall these bones live again? Huh. Now, you and I both know that the obvious answer is no way in the world. No way. Because they're just dry bones, and the flesh and the sinews and everything else is gone. When you're dead, you're dead. It's over, right? But it's beautiful in Ezekiel 37 because Ezekiel does not say, not a snowball chance in hell. Remember that phrase? He doesn't say something like that. Instead, he says, Lord, you know. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Lord, you know. In other words, faith says, because God is breathing into Ezekiel, faith says, with you, Lord, everything is possible. Absolutely everything. You know, Lord. And so the Lord commands Ezekiel and says, breathe, prophesy, speak to those bones and to the breath. You know what the word is that is spoken, that is breathed? Thus says the Lord, I will open your graves, and I will raise you from your graves, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I have spoken, says the Lord, and I will do it. Wow. You see what happens when God breathes? Easter happens, resurrection of the body, life everlasting, pardon and peace and sending and the office of the keys, the forgiveness of sins and the retaining of the sins, just because God breathes. This past Tuesday, as we were looking at Psalm 150 in our men's Bible study, you know how it works in the Psalter. It's divided into five sections. Each section ends with a doxology, a hallelujah. And then when you get to the very end of the book of Psalms, Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, each of those psalms begin and end with hallelujah. It's like a climax. It's like if you're listening to a composition, an orchestra or something, and you can just tell, oh my goodness. The same thing happens with a movie. Things just start, it's building, right? Until you get to Psalm 150, and now you've reached the grand finale. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the psalmist says. So I said to the men, I said, have you ever been to a fireworks display? You kids know what I'm talking about, right? Fireworks? You like fireworks? I love fireworks. But the trouble is, you know that it's going to end. And it keeps building up, right, the suspense. And then pretty soon, when it's about the last 5 minutes, what happens? They pull out all the stops, right? Right? I mean, it's a boom, pop, I mean, it's all over the place. And it's just nonstop for like 5 minutes. It's just all over the place. And that's what Psalm 150 is doing. It's like the grand finale of a fireworks. Let everything that breathes. What instrument are you talking about? Woodwinds? Strings? Dancing? Brass? Pipes? What? Maybe the instrument that God has given you to play is that you're good at woodworking. Right, Leroy? Maybe that's the instrument God has given you to play for His glory, for His praise. Maybe you're really good at finances. Maybe, like, you go, wow, I'm a CPA, or I got my MBA. And then you go, oh, I suppose I could be on the audit committee. I suppose I could be the financial secretary, or I could be the church treasurer, or, right? All we have to, it's not a matter, Psalm 150 says, of saying, yeah, but you know, I've never been in the choir. I've never played an instrument in my life. It's kind of like, do you breathe? Do you breathe? Yeah, if you're alive. I mean, that's what we said on Tuesday morning in the men's Bible study. I said, we think that the worst thing that happens, because when your heart stops beating, when you stop permanently breathing, you are dead. And we think, oh my goodness, I just lost my grandpa, I just lost my granddaughter, I just lost my best friend, my neighbor, my coworker. You know what the real tragedy is? When the heart stops beating, when the breathing stops, you know what the real big deal is? You can't praise God. That's why we were created. That's why God saved us. That's what the kids are singing about tonight in their gifts of music. They're breathing. You got to breathe to sing. You got to breathe to live. And if you're not breathing, well, you're as good as dead. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. It was in 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul said, death stinks. But Paul says the last trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to be raised imperishable. The perishable has to put on imperishability. The mortal has to put on immortality. Then will come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2017, Guidepost printed a story, a true story, about a man by the name of Daryl Perry. It was an incident that happened in Daryl's life in 2007. Now, maybe you know this story. It's a great story. It's an Easter story. Daryl Perry and his wife, Nikki, three kids. One was an 8-year-old, and Daryl was the baseball coach for his 8-year-old son. Daryl was deep into the Word, deep into his walk with Jesus. He was a religious man, 40 years old in 2007. And on March 15th, a Thursday, at 4 o'clock in the morning, Daryl died. Now, it came, 40-year-old heart attack, right? He's gone. It came as a shock to almost everybody except for Daryl, because 6 months before that, when he was in his prayer time, you see, Daryl, every morning, he worked 6 days a week, about 15 hours a day, and every morning he got up at 4 a.m. to read the Bible and to pray for his wife and to pray for his kids and to pray for people. And God told him 6 months before he died, I'm going to use you for my glory. You're going to die so that you can be a vessel of my praise. And he thought, this is nuts. And then one day before he died, which would have been March 14th, 2007, he's taking the two little kids to their elementary school, dropping them off. He drops them off, and God decides to speak to him right then. And God says, the time is soon. You're going to die soon so that you can be an instrument of my glory and praise. And Daryl said, I sat there in the school parking lot, and I wept for 30 minutes. I don't want to die. 40 years old. And so at 4 a.m. on March 15th, 2007, Daryl died. And he was foaming at the mouth, and he had stopped breathing, and he said, it was like I was above all of this, and I was watching this, and my wife was giving me mouth-to-mouth breathing and CPR. And then Daryl said, and then the angel Gabriel took me to the place that Jesus had prepared for me. And I saw people of the faith that I knew that had already passed away prior to me. And then I saw God. Although I can't describe him to you because it was just the most amazing light. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. And the first thing God created in Genesis is light, you know. God looked at me and said, people no longer understand my power and my glory on earth. You need to go back. I'm sending you back as an instrument, a vessel of my glory, so that you can proclaim that I am Lord. And so Gerald said, I felt so much at peace there in heaven. No. He said, I'm talking to God. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not going back. I'm staying here. But as we all know, God's will does prevail. So meanwhile, right, he's connected to life support, and they're doing all this kind of stuff, and the specialists are telling his wife, Nikki, there's no hope. He was too long without breath. He went too long without breathing. And even if he were to open his eyes, he'd be like a vegetable. I mean, because it's irreparable brain damage that's been done. Well, Nikki didn't like that. She said, I'm just going to pray. And I'm also going to get a second opinion. So she found this Dr. Goodman in another hospital. This is down in the Florida, state of Florida. And he basically said, well, here's the thing. If he opens up his eyes, he's going to have no memory. He'll never be able to walk again. He'll never be able to talk again. He'll have no recollection of any of you. You just have to understand that. Every day in the morning, Dr. Goodman would come into the room of Daryl Perry, and he would say, Daryl, open your eyes. On the 11th day, after Daryl died, he came in. Daryl, open your eyes. And he did. And his wife, Nikki, came walking into the room, and Daryl took his eyes and looked at her and mouthed, breathed, I love you. I love you. Huh. 10 years later, in 2017, when Guidepost is telling the story, it was Daryl Perry who said, Jesus proved them all wrong. I'm walking every day, I'm riding my bike, and I have no shortage of memory. He goes around, he shares his testimony. And the story ends with these words. Daryl said, every morning I get up and I say during my prayer and Bible time, Lord, you sent me back here, so what is it that you want me to do for you today? Every day. He asked that question. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do for you today? And then Daryl said, I'm not a quitter. I will never quit. As long as God gives me breath, I'm in the game. As long as God gives me breath, I'm in the game. Jesus breathed. Receive the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I will conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to take me safely there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.